Join me in Ephesians.
I will begin at verse 21 of chapter 5 and then move quickly to the first verses of chapter 6. Excuse me. Ephesians 5:21, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Then to chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. I pray the Lord's blessing on our reading this morning, rather short as it is, but very pointed. And as we look at this text, the first thing that should attract your attention is the fact that here in Holy Scripture that children are addressed directly. They are addressed directly just as the wives were. They are addressed directly just as the husbands were. And they are addressed directly just as the fathers will next week. And so on. Now, this tells us that our Lord has given that the children are as viable a part of the church as any other category of person within the church. Now, today, we would not think on that as unusual. Our children are a viable part. They are an integral part, and we give so much to their activities and teaching and such. I didn't even count how many folks stood here last Sunday given to teaching our children. So for us today, that almost goes without saying. But this is the point. In the day that this letter was written, mid-first century, to address a child in this way would have been entirely unheard of. Because children were a property. They were a commodity, if you will. And one with not a whole lot of value. In the Roman Empire, which had the governing rule of this area and to which this church sat and to which this letter went into, in the Roman Empire, unwanted children were abandoned. And that's what it was called, abandoned. If a child was born and the parents didn't want it, there was a place in the town somewhere where the child could be taken and abandoned and left. That's also how so many Roman children became Christians, because the Christians would hide in the bushes. And when the parents left the child, they'd go get the child and make it a Christian and lead it and teach the child as a Christian. But in the Roman Empire, which this letter entered into, unwanted children were abandoned. Weak and handicapped children were killed. In fact, most children, babies, were regarded as a nuisance because it had interfered with the lifestyle. Who had time to take care of children? But here, Paul is addressing the child directly. And so that gives prominence to the child. All right. Now, as we start to unpack this, I first ask the most simplest of questions. Who are the children to which Paul is referring? Is any child-parent relationship, no matter the age of the child, covered in this address? Or does this address apply only to those who live within the household of the parents? Well, context will answer our question, or at least provide us with guidance. If we go back at the beginning of this section, it is wives, husbands, and then children that are addressed. And so we would say that it is the children of the home that is first addressed in this writing. It is the children of the home that Paul is speaking to directly. However, that does not allow older children who no longer live within the home to blatantly disregard the parents. Remember the fifth commandment? It is quoted here in part, honor your father and mother. That is one of the commandments of God. And so any of us, no matter the age of the child or the age of the parent, there is honor always given. But direct obedience to the parents' wishes becomes a lesser ingredient as the children grow, leave the home, and begin a family of their own. One of the toughest things a parent has to do is to know when direct parenting ends and loving counsel to a fellow adult begins. I see a lot of heads nodding because that is very challenging. Our children grow up, they leave home, they mess up, and you want to step in. I know I did. But that could be almost the worst thing. And so that's the great challenge of when direct parenting stops and the counsel between adults begins. Another question. In a related passage, Paul states to the Colossian church this statement. Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord. So the question, does this literally mean everything? Everything? Well, no, this does not mean everything. This does not mean everything without consideration. A child must, and I underline the word must, obey the parents. As long as the parent directs the child in what can be viewed as a good and proper Christian direction. Note the phrase in the first verse of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents. And what is the qualifier? In the Lord. In the Lord, the children are to obey. As long as the parents are leading in the Lord, as long as the parents are leading in a Christian manner, as long as the parents are leading in a right way, then yes, the child is bound to being obedient in everything. However, if the parent leads in a way that is against a good Christian teaching, then the child can and should disobey the wishes of the parent. Because we are to be obedient. Husbands and wives are to submit to one another as long as the one in authority is in the Lord. So what is expected of the child in the home? Well, it's a very simple word. Obedience. Obey. Obey. Now, this term, obedience, or as it is here, obey, is a much stronger word than we've seen with the wives and than we've seen with the husbands. With the wives, it says to submit. The husbands, it says to love, which is a form of submission as we have talked about it. Well, this word obedience is much stronger. You see, I submit because I'm commanded to, but I submit and love because I want to. I want to because it is the right and good thing to do. And it shows my obedience to the commandments of God, but it also shows my love for my wife. I want to do those things. That word submit, I want to. But obedience, that's a different word, especially given to a child. The passage in Colossians rings clear. Children, obey your parents in everything. Not because you want to. Not because you'd like to. Not because you're having a good day. Not because, oh, this thing. No, no. Because you must. Must. If you're a child in the home, obey your parents in everything. Because it is a must. And there are three reasons that I want to give you to underline this must. Three reasons why obedience is necessary. First, this is kind of the obvious. It is the natural law. A man and woman come together. They enjoy the intimacy of that relationship, of that wedded marriage. And a child comes forth. A natural position of a child being dependent upon a parent for protection, for care, for feeding, for nurture. The child will not live without the attention of the parent in those early years. So obedience is necessary because of the natural law of things. Secondly, children are to be obedient because it is the law of God. The fifth commandment. The fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God is giving you. God has commanded obedience from the children to the parents in the home. Why? Why did God make such a commandment? Why did God give such a commandment? You see, the parents in the home are to be a reflection of God to the child. The parents are to teach and to lead the children toward Christ and of God. Therefore, in the parents, as a child views the parents, they should see something of God in the parents. Authority, love, justice, forgiveness, encouragement. All of the attributes of God should be seen in the parent toward the child. Obedience given to the parents on behalf of the children is also obedience given to God Himself. And so the second reason for obedience, it is the law of God in the way He has commanded. Thirdly, it is the way of our Lord Jesus. It is the way of the Lord. You see, way back in creation, God created the family, Adam and Eve, and He remarked that sixth day that it was good. But we all know what happened very shortly after that. Sin came in, and society, the family nucleus, was torn apart. Love was twisted into lust. Authority was changed into oppression. But with the coming of Jesus Christ, all of that changed. God's new society, of which we have been studying here in the book of Ephesians since the beginning of the year, this new society that Paul is writing of, that the Holy Spirit has given, that is the way of our Lord, it is changing the thing. It is intended to change us back to what God intended. True love and submission is the order of the day rather than lust and oppression. And that love and submission is first taught in the family. As the wife portrays the biblical character given here in the book of Ephesians, as the husband portrays the biblical character given here in Ephesians, the child sees that. And then the child begins to emulate. The child begins to copy. The child will begin to act out what they see happening between the husband and the wife. How do young ladies know how to choose a husband? How do young men come to know what is right and good in a young lady? They see it in the parent. Or they don't see it in the parent. And then they try to form a substitute. You see, it is the way of the Lord Jesus. It is the covenant given us in the Old Testament that spreads through the New Testament. It is the covenant given through the mom and the dad to the child that they understand what it means to be a Christian. Every one of you who have brought a child up here to be baptized, I ask you a question. What is the question? Will you raise up this child to come to know who Jesus Christ is? That is the way of the Lord. That is the reason obedience is necessary on the part of the child. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Some of you know where I'm heading. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. Now, this is Old Testament stuff, but it was never negated by anything that the Lord Jesus taught. It was enforced. It was encouraged. It is the heart and soul of the covenant being given from the parents to the children. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Now, parents, he's talking to us. We are to honor and worship the Lord God through this way. But then look at verse 7. Impress them, the rules, the love, the commandments, impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. The last two verses give us a physical representation that they should be, the teaching should be seen in the home. It's okay to go write something on the door frame of your home if you'd like to do that as a reminder, but it means simply that your home exhibits the teachings of God. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. That means that the children should see my hands at work in the things of the Lord. Now, our Jewish brothers, they take this literally. They will take this Shema and they will wrap it up in a little bitty small piece of paper and they'll put it in a box and it's strapped to their wrist. And they'll wear a head strap and have a little box here that's got the commandments of God in it. They take it very literally. Well, sometimes I think we should take them very literally. And teach our children. Because the children will do what you have taught them until they get to the ages of rebellion. And then the prayer life just gets stronger. So in review, the three reasons: the natural law, it is the way of birth and care. It is the law of God, fifth commandment, and it is the way our Lord has taught us and necessary for raising up a child in the Lord. Now, I want to turn our attention to verse 3. Verse 3 has always been, well, not always, but in 7 years, has been very particular to me, and I know to some of you. But I want to read verse 3, but I will pick up verse 2 and read the whole thing. Ephesians 6:2, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Remember, he is talking directly to children. This verse is of particular interest to me because my child did not live long on this earth. And I know some of you have had children pass. And so I'm quite sure
that you read this verse and the question is just, did I do something wrong? Was I disobedient? Did I do something to cause this? Was my child disobedient and so therefore this promise she did not merit? What are we to make of this? How do we handle this? Well, let me see if I can break this down for you. You see, in the Old Testament, of where the commandment sits, in the Old Testament, God's blessings were more physical in nature. Good crops, big families, peace in the land, long life. Those were the physical things that a person could assume would be theirs because of the blessings of God. They were very physical. To live long in the land, as was promised by God to the Israelites, was a particular blessing to the nation of Israel, and that's exactly what He provided as long as they were obedient. However, with the coming of Christ, the physicalness, in an earthly way, these things changed. The blessings of God were no longer confined to the physical. They were no longer voiced in longevity of life or in peace of the nation or good crops. But let me say, those are blessings of God that we can witness and experience today, but they are not confined to that as they were in the Old Testament. Blessings are to be seen now, here in our lives, but more particularly in Christ Jesus. In the aspect of being blessed as being a child of God. Not necessarily in the physicalness of things. Not limited to the physicalness of things, much like the Old Testament was. So in short, and I mean really in short, our passage is stating that obedient children will live long on the earth, and that is a quality statement more than a length of time statement. I went back through this and I did the Greek and I parsed all the, you know, all that stuff. And it is a really a challenging verse in the way that it's written. But when you take the entire aspect of New Testament teaching and plant it in and behind and around this verse, then we have to let the entire New Testament teach us and speak to us. And so this is a quality statement more than it is a length of time statement. Remember what Paul is teaching us here in the book of Ephesians. He is giving us a new constitution, a new way of life, a way of life that will bring glory to our Lord, blessings to us as people in our homes, in our families, in our church. But he's teaching us how to live in a quality way as children of God. Paul is giving the church, and here specifically families, rules for living a quality of life. Not so much a length of life. So here, children, obedient to parents, in a more general sense, is a call for civil, godly children, where children are respectful and are obedient to their parents. And as a result of this obedience in the home, this will bring quality and peace and blessings to the family, and in turn, peace and quality and blessings to our society. On the other hand, disobedient children are an indication of terrible times, or an indication of unrest, an indication of sin permeating society and permeating the home. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 1. Paul writing to the young Timothy, who's trying to pastor a church. And he says, mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutals, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Yuck! These are horrible things of a godless society. And we see disobedient children perched right in the middle. Intentional, blatantly disobedient children are a sign of a deviant society, captured, overwhelmed, enraptured in sin. Obedient children, on the other hand, are a sign of God and are promised a quality of life that only God can provide. So children, you have to ask yourself a question. Is your disobedience to the desires, the wishes, the counsel of your parents really where you want to be? Because what it indicates is that you're following the deviancy of our society rather than the covenant of God given in the family. So children, I pray that you would obey your parents so that it may go well with you. This not only brings glory to our Lord, it will also bring peace to your home. And it will affect your schools. It will affect your friends. And it will affect anyone else that you come in contact with, because this is God's order. That even the children can affect the society around us. Our children can affect the schools to which they attend if they desire. My Marley lived exactly the number of days our Lord God had given her. She was not a disobedient child. The quality of her days brought love and peace to her home. And she impacted many in her extended family. She impacted many in her school. And she impacted a few here in her church. And so as I look at this passage, I'm not concerned. Children, obey your parents. For this is right. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. For this is right. Yes, this is right. And it's right for only one reason, because it is the desire of our Lord. And He knows
the impact of a child in the society at large. He knows. Amen. Amen.